Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Preaching today from this passage, and we finally found it, Psalm 55 and 22, in the almost identical passage in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. And this is a very dear passage to us, and it's a much needed passage for us here and today. I was reading a story this past week about a man that was having a lot of trouble. He was a Jewish man, and so he went to his rabbi, and he said, Rabbi, he said, life is miserable. I no longer want to live. It's terrible where I am. He says, we live in a small house. It's only one room, and there are nine of us in the family, and we're just stumbling all over one another, and it just appears that things can't get worse. He says, Rabbi, what must I do to solve this trouble? And Rabbi thought for a moment. He put his hand on his chin, and Rabbi said, he says, go and buy a goat and take that goat home. And he says, keep it in your living room, in that main room, the only room you have, for a week. And he says, I want you to come back see me after the week is over. And so sure enough, as the week progressed, the man came back, and he said, the rabbi said, how did things go? And he says, well, it was horrible. He says, the goat is just horrible animal to live with. It jumps up on the table. It eats our dinner. It messes everywhere. He says, a horrible life with the goat in the house. Rabbi says, no problem. He says, take the goat out of the house and come back and see me in a week. And he did so. And you know the rest of the story. After a week, the man came back and says, life is great. Life is wonderful. Well, somewhat of a humorous story, but to remind us that we all do have problems. Yes, Jesus told us in John's Gospel, chapter 12, that in this world there will be trouble. And it is true that it is an untruth that when we come to Christ, that all of our worries, all of our anxieties, all of our cares just disappear. No, in fact, we are still in this world, right? But we have a blessed hope in Jesus Christ our Lord, and he indeed does care for us, and he loves us, and he is a great, awesome, wonderful God. I hope you'll bear with me. I don't know really why, but God's been working on me, and all the way driving to church this morning, I just had tears and crying, and I can't really seem to stop it today. And so just bear with me and hold on, if you don't mind, through the tears. But life is tough, and I know a lot of people that are going through tough times right now. Some of you have just had some tough surgeries, or you're going through, you're about to face a surgery. Some of you have financial worries and anxieties. Some of you have lost your job, and you're looking for another one. All kinds of things are going on in our lives, and the Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens, amen? And so we're here today to lean on one another, to pray for one another, but we're also here today because this is Sunday. And this is the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And so we commemorate his death, his burial, but his resurrection on this day. Amen. And the blessed hope that all is well with Jesus Christ our Lord. And he is still on the throne. In his name, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, is there, and he is ruling, and he is reigning, and he is watching over us, interceding on our behalf to God the Father. The Bible tells us. And one day he is going to come again to take us to be with him. Amen. And what a glorious day that is going to be. I don't know if you read the story this week of the pastor in California, in Chino, California, who after a long bout with depression, it took his own life and left behind a wife and three small children. And this seems to be a story that is repeating itself across the nation, not only with everyone, but especially with clergy right now, that are losing hope, losing the battle with depression, losing the battle with anxiety, losing the battle with worry. And you know, we say, well, there's no way I would do that, right? But we have all at times thought maybe that life might be better if we weren't here, or if things would just end. We've all had those thoughts at some point or sometime in our life. And, you know, if we've never had that thought, life has gotten so bad, or it's going to at some point, that you're going to think about having the thought. Life sometimes is tough. It is bad. And we talked about all of our worries and all of our anxieties. And, and financial woes and whatever the things is. I came in this morning and I looked at our financial report for the church, and it may be the lowest monthly income that we've had since I've been here. And I'm thinking, my Lord, how are we going to pay the bills? You know, we churches have bills just like our homes and our houses have bills. There's a lot of bills to pay. My teenagers aren't here, and I'm so proud of my two kids. Thank God for them. I couldn't ask for two better kids. But may I say that I believe that raising teenagers is the most stressful time in a parent's life. And it's just the truth. And teenagers, don't you forget that. Your parents love you. But this is some of the most stressful times in their life. You're eating more. You're wearing more expensive clothes. Your school is costing all kinds of things. And my goodness, before you get your driver's license, we're just taxi drivers, right? I really want a yellow vehicle and a cap to go with my job as taxi man. I called Greg Casey this week. I said, what are you doing? He says, basically, he's doing the same thing. He says, I'm rushing kids from here from point A to point B. I said, all right, I'm doing the same thing, right? And we're in this together. So worry and anxiety, if we're not careful, can get the best of us. So what do we do? Well, notice what the scripture says. It says, first of all, cast. Well, what does it mean to cast? In the Hebrew scriptures, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, cast. What does that mean? It equates with the words trust. It equates with the words wait. God is going to take care of matters. He will see you through in His time. Trust. Wait. Trust. That Proverbs passage that you have memorized, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He shall direct thy paths. So honestly say, Lord, I don't understand what is taking place right now or why it's taking place or how you're going to bring this all about for good. But Lord, I trust that in your due time, you're going to bring about something good in this. And so today, the first day of the week, I'm going to worship you, the risen Lord and the risen Savior. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Turn, if you will, and look at this passage in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 17. Isaiah 8 and verse 17. Let's look at this passage. Here, remember Isaiah prophesying to the people about the woes, the devastation that's going to come about to the people if they don't repent and turn back from their ways. And so we see Isaiah again in chapter 8 and verse 17, and we read, and Isaiah says, and I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will even look eagerly for him. Ever feel like the Lord's hiding his face from you? Ever feel like your prayers are going unanswered? Do you ever feel like you're praying and nobody is hearing? Well, sometimes it appears or it seems as such. But trust the Lord as you cast your cares on him. Trust him. That even though it may not hear that no one is listening, God is listening. Amen. And he does care. And in due season, he will bring about the necessary change to bail you out. Just wait on him. So to cast your cares on him just means to wait on him and to trust in him that God has got things. Ever ride a roller coaster? I used to love roller coasters when I was a kid. It's the worst thing I can think of doing right now. I'd rather have my toenails pulled out than ride a roller coaster now. But when you ride a roller coaster, you go very high and then you're coming down, it looks like you're going to crash into the ground. Right before you crash, that thing jumps up and takes you back up in the sky, right? It turns you upside down. And right when you think you're never going to come right side up again, whoops, there you go. You're right side up again. And life can be such as a roller coaster as that. But thanks be to God, he's got us. And so don't focus on the crashing because you're not going to crash. God is going to see you through, and he will bear you up on wings as eagles. So what do we do in the midst of all this? Well, of course, we know to pray. Even when it seems like our prayers are not being answered, pray, for the Lord does hear us when we pray. In Philippians, Paul tells us here, when he writes this letter to the church at Philippi, we see that he says this in Philippians chapter 4, in verses 6 and 7. Remember this passage. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So pray. And as we pray, our relationship with the Lord grows stronger. And as we pray, our mindset changes, right? Our mindset changes. Back up a little bit in Philippians from there. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and Philippians chapter 5. Chapter 2. I can't read my writing today, obviously. Chapter 2. Here we go. Chapter 2 and verse 5. And we read this, Philippians 2, 5. It says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." And over again, he's going to go on and expound on that. But what I want you to see here is, "Have this attitude, which was in Christ Jesus." Paul uses this phrase often before he expounds and tells us how to have what attitude we ought to have. But what I want us to see is that as we pray and as we seek the Lord, our attitude changes, right? Our mindset changes. And what you and I need, if we're going to cast all of our cares on Him, is to have a different mindset. Because from where does our worry come? Where does our anxiety come? From where does all this come? It comes from our thought processes, right? And so in order to change the worry, we have to change our thought process. And rather than dwelling and thinking on all the problems, now we've got to dwell and think on how Christ is going to come through for us. Amen. And how He is going to deliver us. And though we don't see it yet, and though we don't know how, Christ will do it. And that is faith. And that is trust. And that is the process of casting all our cares upon Him, all our anxiety upon Him, all our worry upon Him. Back to Philippians 4 and verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." So that means think on these things. So the Jewish man who had all the worries and all the anxiety because he had 9 people that were falling all over themselves in the one-room house in which they lived, once he took in the goat for a week and once the goat was removed again, now he was grateful, right? That he no longer had a goat in his house. And he was grateful that there were 9 people rather than a goat and 9 people. And so he had something to be thankful for and something to be grateful for. If you and I take our focus and our minds off Christ Jesus and what He has done for us, you and I will lose hope in this world. Amen. We're going to lose ground. Our hope, our help is in the solid rock of Jesus Christ and Him alone. And that's why Jesus told the story about the man who built his house on the sand and it has no foundation. So when the storms came, the sand shifted. Those of you who like to play on the beach, you beach bums, know about this. The sand shifted and it moved and the house collapsed. You ever put your lawn chair out on the beach, your folding chair out on the beach, and you sat there and you're enjoying the fresh air, but the tide comes in and begins to wash the sand out from under you, and the next thing you know, you're flat of your back. You've fallen flat into the sand, into the water. Yeah, the same analogy, the same truth there. But those who put their house on the rock have a solid foundation. When the storms of life come, the house still stands, right? That's why the mountains are better than the beach. And so there you go. It stands the test of time. It stands and withstands the storms of life. So our solid rock, our foundation, the Bible tells us is Jesus. And Him alone, there is no better hero than Jesus. There is no better king than Jesus. There is no better Lord and Master than Jesus. And He is the one true God. Amen? And He manifests Himself through the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And it's through Him and Him alone that we find solace, we find rest, we find serenity and peace in the life in which we live. So cast, just take it all up and throw it on Him. He can withstand it. He can take it by prayer and by petitioning Him and changing our mindset. We are saying, Lord, I cannot do it, but Lord, You can. Lord, I cannot see the way, but Lord, You can. Lord, I can't deliver myself from this stuff, but Lord, You can. And somehow, Lord, You're going to make me a better person through it all. And somehow, Lord, You will receive glory and honor and praise. To Him and to Him alone be glory and honor and praise. And notice the next phrase, for He cares for you. Don't only cast it, but know that He cares for you. He careth for you. He loves you. Our God loves His people. Psalm 103. And for those of you who are wondering, yes, my toes are crossed. Psalm 103 and verses 11 and 12. In the scripture, we read this, the text. Psalm 103, 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Ooh, our God is a good God. Amen. For He has forgiven our sins because we feared Him, we reverence Him, we honor Him, and we have asked Him, and He has forgiven them and removed them from us. There is nothing that condemns us now, right? Because He has taken that on Him. But not only that, He takes our worries, our fears, our anxieties, everyday troubles on Himself. Why? Because again, the Bible says here, it says that He loves us as high as the heavens are above the earth. I've told you before, I love to go out and look at the sky at night. I have no lights around my house because I don't want light pollution. I want to see the heavens. If you don't have light pollution, you can see the Milky Way. And you can see those bright stars. You can think, as far as those are away, even yet farther, my God loves me. And it is immeasurable. Some of you and I have limits. It amazes me that my wife has great limits on how much she loves me. I haven't found them yet, but I sure have pushed them, right? Guys, let's be honest. We've all done that with our spouses. She loves me even yet through it all. God has no limits. We put limits on people. I'll love you if, or I'll love you until. But God infinitely loves us. Always loves us. Never ending loves us. And so while we're focusing on our problems, let's cast them on Him. And let's remember that He cares for us. Instead of focusing on the problems, focus on the One. Instead of focusing on the questions, Lord, why don't You do this? Or Lord, why don't You do that, right? Just focus on the fact that, Lord, if I were in Your spot, I would fix this. But Lord, it wouldn't be anything compared to how You're going to do it. Because Lord, You're really going to fix it. And You're really going to bless. And You're really going to help. And You're really going to see us through. And oh, what a blessing that's going to be. Oh, what joy it is to know that we have a Heavenly Father, the One who created us, and the Son who came and lived for us and died for us, but was raised to newness of life for us, and the Spirit that dwells within us and speaks to us. The Bible says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Romans chapter 5. We'll kind of close with this. Romans chapter 5. And turn there. Romans 5 and look at verses 3 and verse 4. Not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. Through your perseverance and through your trials and tribulations, are you finding hope in the One
who cares for you and who loves you in an immeasurable way? Are you still just focusing on your problems? Often I'm hearing people say of Christians, I don't see how they're getting through. And we Christians are not perfect, and oftentimes we fail. But many times at funerals, we're laughing and we're enjoying a good time together, even in the midst of losing a loved one. And people say, how do Christians do that? We all grieve differently, but how far and wide, how we do that is because we know that that is not the end. And we know that God's got something better in store, and that we one day, through faith and trust in Him, will be reunited, not only with one another, but with God in heaven, and we will see Him face to face. If you're prayed like Moses, Lord, I just want to see you. God, just move by. I just want to know you're here. I just want to know you're here. One day we're going to know He's here because we're going to be with Him for all eternity and for all glory. I don't know what you're going through, but I know from God's word that He cares for you. And it may seem that you've talked to people and it seems like nobody really cares. I hope that at Lime Branch Baptist Church you find that somebody cares. But know this beyond a shadow of a doubt that He cares. And there is nothing that escapes His knowledge. Amen. There is nothing that He doesn't know about already. So I need you, Lord. Oh, how I need you. Every hour I need you, right? Lord, when the roller coaster cart is at the very top and life is great, I need you. And Lord, when it's about to crash and I think my life is over, Lord, I need you. I always need you. Lord, when I think things are horrible and terrible in my life because I'm living in a one-room house with 9 people, Lord, I need you. Lord, when the old goat comes in, it gets worse, I need you. Lord, when the goat's removed and I realize that life isn't so bad after all and how blessed I am, count your many blessings, name them one by one, right? Oh, Lord, I still need you. For nothing in this world is greater than the treasure of knowing Christ Jesus, amen, our Lord. This morning, if you will, just take time to pray and name your burdens to the Lord one by one. And as you name them, just picture in your mind casting them over towards Him and letting Him deal with them. And now begin to change your mindset that you're not all burdened down, but Christ the Lord is carrying you. And He is unfolding something beautiful and great in your life. Father, Lord, we pray today that we will experience You casting all of our cares, all of our worries, all of our anxieties, all of our negative thoughts, all of our bad attitudes, Lord, casting it all on You. And Lord, You're able, high enough, great enough, that Lord, You're going to carry us and see us through, and You're going to do something great out of our life. But Lord, help us. Lord, be ever present with us here today. Lord, bless around our country and around the world those pastors and teachers and missionaries who are suffering in harm's way, suffering with depression, whatever it is. Father, we pray You bless them and You see them through. And Father, bless right here in our congregation, in our own town, our own area. Lord, bless right here that, Lord, we see that You're going to carry us through and that we turn to You. Father, send a great revival, we pray. Do Your will, do Your work amongst us. We ask and we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. As we reverently stand to our feet, let's take our hymn books out.